All right. So the rest of us can turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter. We'll start at chapter 1, verse 19 today, picking up our study. Heavenly Father, we do just come before you. We ask, Lord, that you would indeed speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be in the habit of hearing your voice. Lord, we are your sheep. And as sheep, we go astray. And Father, we don't think that sometimes that you will forgive us because we know better, and yet we do it anyway. But Lord, you are long-suffering. You are patient. You are kind. You are merciful. You know our frame. You know that we're but dust. And Lord, you have pity upon your children. Lord, draw us to yourself today. Wipe away those things that, Lord, that we have gotten ourselves into. I pray, Father, that you would deliver us, as you are so fond of doing, delivering us from all the evil of this world. But deliver us from the thoughts of our minds and the intents of our hearts, Lord. Those things from the past that come to haunt us. I pray, Father, that, Lord, it would be replaced by the desires that you give us, that we would desire you above all things, that we would desire to walk in your ways, to be holy as you are holy, as you have called us to be holy. Oh, Lord, teach us now, through your word, how to do that. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would overflow us, and we would allow the Spirit to do his job in our lives. Oh, Father, have your way with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, as we were, contemplating the words of Peter, Peter was relaying to us the heavenly experience he experienced on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he saw Jesus transfigured before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and this cloud overshadowed him, and a voice was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." He is well pleased with the Lord. And it's kind of interesting to me that Moses and Elijah show up. I wonder why that is. Moses and Elijah represent, Moses represents the law, obviously. And Elijah represents the prophets. As we remember that the prophecy, Jesus had talked about John the Baptist. And he said, if they would have accepted him, this is John the Baptist, the fulfillment of the prophecy. Now, we use prophecy in a lot of different places, and even the world has picked up on prophecy and prognostication, as they like to call it, and the telling forth of the future. But prophecy, in its basic definition, in its purest definition, is the Word of God. That's what it is. When you speak forth the Word of God, if you quote a scripture, then you're speaking forth the Word of God. The issue is, in our minds, is that we correctly quote it. You see, if you leave something out, like when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he quoted scripture, but he took it out of context. He took a scripture and said, "This is what this means." And Jesus quickly said, "No, that's not what that means. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written this or that." And you go through the temptations of Christ and you see that that's what the devil does. He comes and he uses half scripture. And we'll find that that's what false prophets do. They use a little bit of scripture and then they have their interpretation of it. See, that's a wrong way of using it. The correct way is what Peter here says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. You see, he was pointing people back to the word. When you give forth the word of God, you are speaking prophecy. You're a prophet or a prophetess, however you want to put it. I wouldn't, cling to that title as such, but every time you speak forth God's word, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. You're becoming the oracles of God, and that's what the oracles of God are. They're speaking forth God's word. When Moses was in the mount, God gave him, he spoke to him, and Moses relayed to the people what God spoke to him. Now, as we read the word and we hear from the Lord, we speak forth that to others. You know, I was reading in the word the other day, and it was like the Lord spoke to me, and as I was reading this, it just made it alive to me. not the interpretation or not what it meant to you. You see, that's where we get a little off on that. We take a scripture and then we think, well, and this is what we... And that's what a commentary is, you see? That's when people of God hear from the Lord, they write down their notes. This is what it meant to me when I was hearing this time. And so a lot of people, they go to the commentaries and see, well, this scripture meant this to this person here. Well, it says in here in verse 21, or 20, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. That means all scripture is for us, for the Lord to speak to us through. Now, we don't sit there and take scripture to try to manipulate people as some do. And we're going to take a look at what the false prophets do. But let's talk about what the real prophets did. Let's take a look at Moses first of all. Moses heard from God from Mount Sinai. And he was even talking about in Numbers 12, verse 8. He's saying, I will speak to Moses, not through prophets, not through parables, but I will speak to him mouth to mouth. I will speak to him as a man speaks to his friend. Now, we know Moses wrote the first five books of Moses. Well, that's why they call them first five books of Moses. But think about it for a second. Moses wrote the book of Genesis. And Genesis was talking about things that had happened 1,500 years before Moses was ever born. How did he get this information? God told him what to write. You see, we stop and think about that for a second. So, if God told Moses that this is what he was supposed to write, then this is from the mouth of God. He knows what he's talking about. Are we going to believe that in 6 days God created? Are we going to believe, the things that happened with Joseph and with Jacob and Isaac and Abraham and all of those folks there? It was written the way God told him to write it. And for verse 21, he says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden we see that word holy men and we think, okay, well, that disqualifies me. Think about it. The Lord says, be ye holy as I am holy. How do we become holy? By speaking forth the word of God. By accurately hearing from God and relaying that information. Now, I've been reading in the book of Jeremiah lately. Fascinating book. Because he talks about people that speak forth God's word that God hadn't talked to them. Hey, I never talked to these persons. Read Jeremiah 29. It's so fascinating. These people come up and say, don't worry about Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to be gone in a couple of years. You don't have to worry about it. And God told Jeremiah, he says, look, you tell that person that talked to it that I did not send. First of all, he authenticates, I didn't send this person. And you tell him he's not going to live out the year. Okay, and we'll see whose prophecy comes true. He authenticated Jeremiah's prophecy. It was a word came to Jeremiah and he spoke it forth. A word comes to you out of the scriptures, you speak it forth. Not your interpretation of it or what you think it may mean to somebody. It's not like expounding on the word of God for somebody. You see, and that's what he's kind of talking about here, the private interpretation. You allow the scriptures to do its work. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict of sin. We have not been promoted to the job of Holy Spirit. We don't need to point out people's sins. They are well aware of their sins. They are well aware of the condition that they are in. They are well aware that they need to move closer to God. But as the word of God comes out, a word spoken in a timely fashion, it has its effect. The Holy Spirit takes that word and then he starts to do his work. But if we speak forth the word of God in truth, that means fully, not holding back, not partial, not something that we put together so that we will elicit an emotional response. That's the wrong way to try to convince people to accept Jesus Christ. We should not be around coercing people or trying to make up stories that will bring tears so that they'll come and cry before the altar or whatever during an altar call. That's not the way to bring people to Christ. The Holy Spirit has to do the work. Otherwise, it's a work of man. And churches are built off of that. They have altar calls at every service. You know, and they like to take counts. Oh, look, we got 100 today. We got 100 people saved today. Well, they were the same people that got saved last week, mm-hmm. and the week before, and the week before, and 10 years ago. Didn't I see you here before? Well, no. You know, I'm rededicating my life to the Lord. How do you rededicate your life to the Lord? It's not your life. It's God's life. You've already given it down. You've laid it down. He's working with you now. He's bringing you to that place where He wants you to be, close to Him. And if anything, you know, if there's any other kind of coercion going on, it's wrong. It's not the way that the Scriptures were meant to be used. It was meant to be given out to people. Now, everybody can do this. Everybody can speak forth the Word of God as they have been studying the Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's what we do. And then God uses us in that capacity. But remember, true prophecy is speaking forth the Word of God. Now, as we all know, for every true there is a false, right? And so Peter picks it up in chapter 2. He says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." So, as there were false prophets during Moses' times, there's false prophets even today. Where there's false teachers, it's the same thing. So, we're going to test our little gizmos and gadgets to see how well we can flip to different scriptures. So let's turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy 13 and let's get the Lord's description of what a false prophet is, so that you don't say, "Well, you're just making this stuff up." Well, no, let's read it for ourselves, okay? And it's fascinating here how the Lord gives this to Moses and you know, said, "Well, Moses, you sure got an in with God. I mean, nobody's going to challenge you. Nobody's going to question you, you know, because you hear from God." You see, the evidence of him having heard from God was that he came down from the mount and his face was glowing. And they were afraid of that. They was, "Man, this guy's face is glowing. You know, we saw the thundering and the lightning and all of the fire on the mountain. And now you're coming down, you're alive, and you're glowing with God's presence. Put a veil over your face so that we don't see the glory fading." They didn't want it. They wanted to remember. God, Moses came down. His face was glowing. It was alive. But they didn't want to see it fading away. And so he said, "Put a veil over you so we don't see that happening." So in chapter 13, verse 1, he says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder." Okay, mark that. First of all, he doesn't say false, does he? He says a prophet, somebody that's claiming to be a prophet, somebody that's claiming to speak for God. Now, in our day and age, that comes, you know, that's pretty, you know, pretty a normal circumstance. Everybody thinks that they speak for God. I mean, if any, you know, you turn on your TV or your radio or whatever, you'll hear all kinds of people speaking for God. But here it is. "A dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder." So signs and wonders are no indication that they've been around God. Remember, the false prophet in the book of the Revelations does signs and wonders in the sight of the beast. Okay? And they are meant to deceive. Okay? In this type of a prophecy, prophecy speaking forth the word of God, there is a local application and there's also a far-reaching application. The local application was to prove to the people that God actually spoke it. But then there's also a long-term effect. See, and what we're going to be looking at here is for us today to be able to recognize false prophets over true prophets. Okay? "And a sign or a wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them." This is going to be the message of a false prophet. Let us not just worship God. Let's worship this over here too. Okay? Thou shalt not hearken unto them, unto the words of that prophet, nor that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Look at here. The Lord is laying all of this stuff out. Love the Lord your God and listen to his voice. This is an individual call. It's not a corporate call. It's for an individual call so that you will know the true from the false. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Now, you see, do you see the leeway here? You know, when a prophet spoke and it didn't come to pass, that means he was to be stoned with stones until he is dead. Now, that proves whether you heard from God or not. If it 100% comes to pass. So, today, in our day and age, if a prophet prophesies something and only 99.9% of it comes to pass, what does that make him? A false prophet. Because it will 100% come to pass. Because God knows the end from the beginning. In fact, he tells us that, hey, this is how I authenticate myself. I tell you from the beginning that which is going to come to pass at the end, so that when it comes to pass, you will know that I have spoken. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to you to turn away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way of which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which is as thine own soul, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people that are round about you, nigh unto thee, nor far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, or hearken unto him. Neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this among you. So there's a thing that the Lord hates. I think he's gotten his point across in how he feels about people that would draw him away from himself. Okay? You shall stone him with stone. Your eye shall not pity this person. We have people today that draw people away from themselves. We call them cults. You know, they add to the Word of God. Says, well, you don't need to study the Bible. We have this book right out here. And even the Jews themselves did that. They had, you know, their commentary. They had the Talmud that was a commentary on the Torah. And then they had the Midrash, which was a commentary on the Talmud. And so they had all of these rules and regulations that they would follow. You know, Jesus talked about that. You know, if we turn in our Bibles now to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, we're going to talk about these things. And this is a parable that he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came unto him, saying, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest will I say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barns. So here he's saying that even though among you, you'll sit next to people that will hear the word. But then there will be, they will grow up together, and what they will do is they will try to entice you from the word of God. These will be there. The Lord says in Matthew 15, I'm sorry, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, 19, he says, There must needs be heresies among you, so that you will know the true. So we always need to be on guard. We always need to be saturated with the word of God, so that when we hear something, we will know. We've heard from the Lord and says, this is what this is. It's to draw close unto the Lord. Remember I said that prophecy, when you interpret prophecy, you have to have the entire focus of the scriptures in mind when you're interpreting this. The entire focus of the word is God redeeming man back to himself. And all the scriptures apply to that. Mostly they apply to Jesus Christ. He says, look, hey, the volume of the book, it's written of me. And what did Jesus do? He redeemed man back to himself. So most of the scriptures, in fact, all of the scriptures, are pointing to Jesus Christ accomplishing that fact. Whether we know it here now in his first coming or in his second coming. You see, scriptures is broken up into those two categories. It's Christ's first coming, the fulfillment of God's promise of sending a redeemer that he gave to Adam and Eve. And then there's the second coming, the promise of the judgment to come. Remember, the work of the Holy Spirit. Convict of sin, convince of righteousness, and warn of the judgment to come. Three things. And the scripture, the entire scripture from Genesis to Revelation, focuses on that particular thing. Now in Matthew 15, it's just a couple chapters over, so... There's an illustration that Jesus kind of goes over for us. And it's all in the matter of the false. Now remember what we talked about before. The false only needs to be false by 1%. Or less than 1% to be false. So in chapter 15 and verse 1 he says, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? So here they're coming in their self-righteousness, but they're coming to him from the false. And Jesus is going to set it straight for us. He's going to say, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and said, He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whoever shall say his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. See how it's going here? The very things that they set up to try to keep the law was the things that they were violating the law in because of greed, because of lust, because of covetousness, as we read in 2 Peter. These are the things that drew them away. They tried to create loopholes in God's law so that they might be profited. And Jesus is talking about this, and he says, Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Folks, this is what we need to examine ourselves of. The words that come out of our mouth may be wonderful and holy and lofty, but if our heart is somewhere else, then it's false. We need to have our hearts and our minds and our spirits in unity with His Spirit each and every day. That's why we need to hear from Him. That's why we need to spend time with Him in prayer and understanding of the Word. That's the reason why He's called us. Because He loves us. He wants us to understand. As we've been going through the Proverbs, we saw that it's like a father. It is a father just trying to give instructions to his children so that they will not die, that they will live spiritually. They will be healthy. They will have their barns full. Full of what? Full of the Word of God and the things that matter. And they will have the joy of the Spirit, the new wine. It'll be overflowing. You won't be able to contain it. You'll be so happy because the Lord, your Father, is teaching you. I am my Father's child. He's teaching me. He's making me to understand these things where I can't do it in my own flesh. It has to be of the Spirit. It gives me confidence to know I am born again, that He will never leave me. Man, you don't get that kind of confidence unless you're in the Word of God. And he called the multitude, in verse 10 he says, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Folks, hear this and understand it. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which come out of his mouth defileth. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Yeah, you're going to offend a lot of people. You're going to offend a lot of religious people by this. You speak forth the word of God, and they're going to be offended. Now, here's the drawback of, not drawback, but the problem. You know, as you speak forth the word of God, the people have been taught the word, the same word, to mean something different. Okay? And they may shake their head and they say, yeah, I get that, I understand that, yeah. But in their mind, what are they going back to? They're going back to the commentary which said that this is what this means. You see? Not what God hath said, not yea hath God said, because if you're in a commentary, you're not going to have the same spirit. It's not going to be the same thing for you. And the enemy's going to come and say, yea, hath God said this? Well, yeah, I read it in this commentary. Well, that's not God's word. You have nothing to stand on. That's sinking sand. It's not the bedrock foundation of Jesus Christ, coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. He says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant, every false teaching, every false church, quote unquote, or every false ministry is going to be rooted up if it's not planted of the Father. It's going to be rooted up. Does that mean we get to do that? No. That means he's going to do it. Why? Because he says, let them alone. What? Let them alone. Leave them alone. Leave them to the hand of the Father. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So what's this saying here, folks? Only the blind will follow after the blind. Those that are seeking the truth will divorce themselves from the places that are speaking the lie and lead them into the Spirit will lead them into the places where they can see the light. We don't have to do that. We don't have to sit down and tear down ministries. Oh, this person said this wrong, or this person is teaching this over here. We don't have to worry about that because we're immersed in the Word. We're immersed in the true. We'll know the counterfeit when it comes. We don't have to defend God's Word. We just have to use it. God's Word is able to stand on its own. I don't need to defend it. If He needs me to defend His Word because somebody is speaking against His Son, then He's not a God that I could worship because He needs me to, you know, make sure that the world stays pure. No. He's redeemed the world. The world is His. He could, if He wanted to, just snuff them out when they speak blasphemous things, but He doesn't. He lets them alone until the time of the end. And as Paul says, there must needs be these heresies among you. There must be. There has to be there that will keep us sharp. That will keep us in the Word to say, hey, you know what? I've read in the Word that man, that's false. That's not true. That's where we need to be. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So only the blind will follow after the blind. So let's turn back in to 2 Peter. False prophets. I can't think we wrapped on that one a little bit. False teachers as well. But the false is those, a biblical definition is that they lead you away from the Lord. Or how about it's Jesus plus something. You have to be involved. You have to be, you know, you have to be engaged in your church. I hear that a lot today. You got to be plugged in. You know, you got to be plugged in, but you got to be plugged into the Spirit. That's where you have to be plugged in at. You know, programs and things of that nature, you don't need any of that stuff. You know, you don't need anything, because he's going to talk about that in a little bit. But they will bring in damnable heresies if you allow it. If you don't know your word, folks, you'll just eat up what, because they're such a great speaker. They have such a pulpit presence. And I just love to hear the words that come on, the way that he speaks. Now, see, I've never heard that said about me. So, you know, I know I'm clean on that. But there are folks that, you know, oh, look at him. He just, oh, the words, the honey just drips off of his lips. But they'll bring in damnable heresies if you're not careful. If you're not considering it. If you're not Bereans. Study to show yourself approved, yes. Take every word. Okay, yeah, I've got. But search the scriptures daily to prove whether those things are so. Don't just, yeah. He's my pastor, man. I know he won't lead me astray. I know he won't, you know, he won't say anything that isn't true. Until you find yourself, man, what God am I serving? Am I serving my own flesh? Am I serving my own enjoyment? Is that what Christianity is all about? Is this why Jesus died, so that we can enjoy this life? Now, Jesus, as I recall, said, in the world you shall have tribulations. It is a battlefield. Paul talked about, hey man, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. That wrestling thing there, that means fighting. That means to the death, like gladiators used to do in the Colosseum. They would fight to the death, and the last one standing was the winner. You want to be that last one standing, because it's not you that fight, it's the Word of God. Yes, the Lord hath said, ding, ding, whatever it is that you're being tempted with. Yea, the Lord hath said, I know this to be true, I've read it, and he has spoken his word unto my heart. And I believe it, and I'm doing that word. Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's what, you know, that's what's going to happen. Destruction is coming. There are people out there that would coerce you into other gods, to worship other gods. And there are many, many other gods. Kind of like the government. Oh, don't trust in God, trust in us. Just sign up for our program here and we'll make sure that you have food on the table. We'll pay your rent. We'll do this, we'll do that for you. And they become your God. You begin to trust in them until the checks stop. And then also, whoa, what happened now? But you're trusting in the wrong source, in the wrong resource. The trust is supposed to be in the Lord and the things that he brings. You never know what the Lord's doing. You know, it's like sometimes we, you know, things start to diminish in our lives. You know, sometimes, oh, the bank account's going down. You know, I'm losing my job. You know, my house is going into foreclosure. Lord, what's going on here? Well, I want you to move. You see, I'm just setting it up for you. Okay, all right. You see, but we're in confidence to know that no matter what happens to us, Romans 8:28, right? That whatever things happen to us, it's, hey, I'm the Lord's. And he's going to supply all of my needs, right? So why should I worry? Why do I have this thing? I know that the Lord is doing something. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, gradual ways. It's not all at once. They don't coerce you all at once. It's just a little bit. You know, a little bit of the tickling of the ears. Okay, yeah, that kind of, it doesn't quite fit so well, but yeah, you know, everybody makes mistakes in their speech. And it's a gradual turning away. One illustration that I thought is pretty cool is, and I know it's a little dated, but if you leave on a ship from, let's say, Santa Barbara or wherever, to Hawaii, and that's a pretty long journey. And if you're off by 1 degree, the time that it was supposed to take you to get there, you're going to be 1,500 miles off course. And that's all it takes, is one little thing. So that's why we always need to have our radar up. We always need to say, well, if that doesn't sound right, check it against Scripture. And if it's not, then say, you know what, you said this and it doesn't kind of line up. Where does the error lie? Is it with me or is it with you? Because the Scripture is the final word. And if it doesn't line up with the Scripture, then whoever's speaking it, they're wrong. The Scripture is right. You need to be on guard for that. through covetousness or greediness. Okay? Oh, I'm sorry. I keep doing that. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Well, we see that in our world today, don't we? People that don't want to hear the word, well, you're a hater. You're definitely a hater. If you don't think that my lifestyle is good, you're a hater. You're not a hater. The word of God says this. We're just being true to the word of God. And if we don't think that you're, you know, if you don't want to hear our opinion, don't ask. What is the most number one thing that's being attacked today? The Bible. The Bible is being attacked. Look at the churches that we have now. There are many denominations now that are embracing this new gay lifestyle. You know? And it's just like, are you not reading your word? Well, obviously they're not reading the word. Are they holding true to the word? Obviously they're not holding true to the word. So what do we say about that? What does the Lord say? Leave them alone. We don't need to come against them. You need to get sharp. You need to get into the word and say, well, these are the scriptures that say, so I'm backing off from this. If you guys want to do that, then go right ahead. Do that, as the Lord has said. But you're not going to see me with placards out there saying, well, this church is wrong. It's all I can do to make sure that I am sharp. And that's what we need to do as a body, as a person, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to make sure that, hey, I am sharp. I am in the Word. I know what the Word says. Not what somebody else has been shown what the Word is, but what the Word actually says. That's where I'm standing. And that's where you need to stand. It doesn't matter what I say. What matters is what the Lord has spoken to you about. And if you don't know what the Lord has spoken to you, then you need to get into the Word and prayerfully consider the Word. Otherwise, where are you going to be? You're going to be washed around, you know, with every wave of doctrine that comes down the pike. Don't be that. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words or faked words or, you know, how should we say it? Fake humility. Have you ever seen somebody talk in fake humility? It's really comical if you recognize it, but covetousness, greediness for money, greediness for gain. They will make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, let me just put this into a context that's close to my heart. Fundraisers. Okay? I hate these things with a passion. I mean, I am so opposed to them that I will not even talk about them. Fundraisers, they're all around. You know, your kids in school, they give them a box of candy. Want to buy some candy? Want to buy some flowers? Want to, you know, all kinds of different things. You know, to raise money. You know, hey, our roof is leaking. We need a fund for that. We need, you know, give to our leaky roof fund so that we can get things going. So, but they're making merchandise of you. Okay, I want you to take this box of candy and I want you to go out and sell it. This is making merchandise so that you'll bring in money. What happened to, let's have a prayer meeting and pray what the Lord would have us to do? Does He want us to fix this roof? If so, He will supply the funds. What happened to God? Does he not work anymore? Does He not do these things anymore? Or is this the way that we have, you know, that we've relegated Him to do? Okay, God, you're in this box here. We're going to have this fundraiser and you're going to supply our needs through that. Oh, really? You know, I mean, think about it. Well, your kids come up to you and say, you know what, I want to go on this vacation. You know, and if you put $10 in this little box every day, I'll be able to go when it comes time. Well, we wouldn't work that way. And God doesn't work that way. God says, I got an idea. Let's go back to what the Bible says, and why don't you wait on me? Why don't you wait on me and see what I want to do? Rather than, okay, well, we see this need, and instead of, well, you know, maybe that roof is going to collapse and maybe we need to get out of this building. Maybe we need to find some new digs. You see? There's all kinds of different things that happen, but to make merchandise of your people so that you can bring in money for the coffers. We need to pay our electric bill, guys. You know, we're going to pass the bucket again. I've sat in services before where they passed the bucket 3 and 4 times because they didn't get enough the first time. And I know you all have been in this, you know, you probably have heard these things. Now we're going to pass the bucket for this prophet or this, you know, because God's not supplying the needs. We need to step up and do these things. And they'll quote scripture, like they'll quote Paul and saying, hey, you know, I should partake of your carnal things, you know, because I'm giving to you of your spiritual things. And that's true and well as it is. But to sit there and you've got to take a break from your ministry duties to come and beg money from different churches, I won't allow it. I never have allowed it. You've never heard anybody come in. And I've gotten, you know, requests all over the place saying, hey, you know what, I'm a missionary and I want to come and speak at your church. No, you don't. You want to come and you want to beg money. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to have it. The Lord wants you to be in the mission field. He is going to supply all of your needs through His riches and mercy in Christ Jesus. It's not going to be because, you know, and sometimes, you know, like these TV preachers, it's like, maybe the Lord wants to shut them down. That's why they're having financial difficulties. But sadly, these old ladies, these shut-ins or whatever, they're giving them their money because they don't have any good Bible teaching. And they're keeping these guys, these shysters on the air. What about this guy that, you know, said, if I don't raise $8 million, the Lord's going to strike me dead. I was thinking, let's hold back and see if this is true. Okay? Or this pastor that says, you know what, I need a $24 million jet so that I can continue in my ministry. Huh? Well, wait a minute. What's wrong with flying coach? Have we not done this before? Oh, no. They don't go where I go. Well, then they'll go there. Yeah, it's pretty simple. But it's, you know, they're making merchandise of their flock so that they can gain, live in palatial mansions. You know, you look at some of these TV preachers and whatever, where do they live? They live in the Pacific Palisades. You know, where these mansions, or they live on Lido Island in Newport Beach, or they live in the Hamptons, in these mansions out there. You know, well, doesn't God's people, I'm a servant of the Lord, shouldn't I have the best? Shouldn't I live like this because I minister to so many different people? You know, folks, look at the lifestyles. Before you give a dime, before you give anything to a ministry, prayerfully consider, does the Lord want me to sponsor this? Does the Lord want me to put my resources to this? And I'll tell you, you'll be freed up. You won't have to worry about people knocking on your doors that we're collecting for. Okay, let me pray about it. Come back in a month. We'll see what the Lord wants to do in that. Oh no, the need is desperate. If we don't do it now, then we're going to close our ministry. Okay, well let me know where you end up and, you know, we'll have fellowship there. If the Lord's shutting the doors, let Him shut the doors. But as we saw in the parables, you know, they're going to be among us. The false and the true are going to be among us, and we won't be able to tell them apart unless we start to hear what it is they have to say. And I've seen people come into fellowships trying to, you know, gather disciples after themselves and start new fellowships. Oh, you're from this area? Well, you know, I'm thinking about starting a Bible study over on the other side of town. You know, maybe you should come over there. That way you don't have to drive so far. I've seen it and I've heard it. You know, it happens, you know, all the time, where people are trying to get started by fishing in somebody else's pond. That's what we like to call it, fishing in somebody else's pond. It's kind of a neat kind of a phrase, isn't it? You know, but you're not getting new people. You're just getting shifters. You know, people that go from one church to another church to another church for convenience sake. Oh, because I don't have to drive so far. It doesn't matter what it is that I'm hearing. What matters is that it's convenient for me. It's convenient. They were told from the beginning. We are told from the beginning that there is judgment to come. Okay? That is a work of the Holy Spirit. And it's all to the believer. Because the unbeliever isn't going to hear it. The conviction of sin, first and foremost. That's what we need to be very aware of. That we are sinful people, and we need the Holy Spirit to convict us, to show us what things that we're doing wrong, because we're blinded to it. The second is that Jesus forgives sins. There is no sin that He has not forgiven. All sin was taken at the cross. All sin. And all means all. There's only one sin that's going to condemn a person to hell. One sin and one only. Is that you've rejected the free offer of God that Jesus Christ forgave your sins and that you can be born again. That's the only sin That's the only thing that's going to condemn a person to hell. Because Jesus took care of everything else. There is no sin that you can imagine that he has not died for and not taken to the cross. And then the Holy Spirit convicts us, of the judgment that is to come. Now, how does that spur us on? It keeps us clean. It keeps us clean. It keeps us focused. There is a judgment to come that I don't want any part of, so I'm going to judge myself and offer myself before the Lord so that He can cleanse me, because there is a judgment to come. And as I am cleansing myself through the Word, through the washing of the water, through the Word, my life is going to reflect that change. It's going to reflect that cleansing so that people look at us and say, man, what drives you? What spurs you? Then you have an open invitation to share Jesus Christ. And by that, you see, if people are asking you this, and I know I'm kind of going a little bit long, but if people are asking you this, that means the Spirit of God is working in you and in the person asking. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask. You see? They wouldn't ask. And if they ask, that means that the Spirit of God is saying, he's ripe, he's ready, he's ready to hear the Word, give it to him. And we are confident to be able to give forth because the Lord will put the words in our mouth. And it's always, always, always Scripture. It's always His Word that comes forth that convicts a person. It's not ours. It's not what we think the Word says. It's not what we think the Word means. It's the pure Word of God going forth, and the Holy Spirit takes that. And He makes it real to the person hearing it. And they then are converted because they've accepted it through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through the feigned words that we could possibly get out there to make them, you know, emotionally charged. That's not the way that the Holy Spirit works. It's that still, small voice that doesn't let them go. Man, they're ready. Give them the Word. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to partner and give them the Word. I need to use you today to partner me with me so that I can get somebody saved. Give forth the Word of God. So, folks, study to show yourself approved unto God. Store up those things in your barns. Let the joy pour forth from your lips. The praise and the worship of God Almighty who has saved you. That's why we're here, to be ambassadors, to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in the world. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you. We praise you, Father, and Lord, we just ask that you would just give us a renewed hunger for your Word. Lord, that we want to hear from you, as Moses heard from you, mouth to mouth. Lord, we just want you to be everything in our lives. Pour out your Spirit upon us this day in Jesus' name.